everyone. Welcome to the Sunday to Sunday podcast. My name is Megan Ranson, and I have a very special guest on here with us today. She is a friend of mine, and let me just tell you, she is freaking fantastic, and I'm so excited that she's here. Her name is Hannah. She is the CEO and founder of Metric Marketing in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Would you say CEO and founder? Is that the right word, Hannah?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay, well, welcome, Hannah. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be able to chat with you about these things today.
Well, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about who you are?
Yeah, so like you said, I'm the founder and CEO of Metric Marketing. So what that means is I own a digital marketing agency that focuses on full service types of things for companies. So we partner with companies to help them improve their online marketing, from their website development to search engine optimization, which we're going to be chatting about, social media, paid advertisements, all sorts of things like that. But I've been in the digital marketing space now for, I hate to start counting, almost 15 years. It's kind of crazy to think that it's been that long, but it's definitely a space that's changed a lot since I've been in it. So I absolutely love, though, how much it changes. I love learning. And so part of my love for learning is also love for teaching. So another thing that I do is I travel around the nation with the Digital Summit Series, and I teach search engine optimization workshops there as well.
And I've been to one of those workshops, and it was awesome and wonderful and so much fun. And you definitely have a lot of great information to share with people. You've helped me a ton. So I'm really excited to dive into this stuff today.
Oh, good.
I know. Yay. Okay. So the first thing that I wanted to ask you is, we all know what SEO stands for. And by the way, we did an SEO 101 podcast a few months ago. So if you didn't listen to that, go back and check that out. But so Hannah, tell me, like, why does SEO matter?
Yeah, so SEO, and for those who maybe didn't listen, you should definitely go listen to that podcast. But yeah, SEO stands for search engine optimization. So essentially what you're trying to do in SEO is make the user experience for search engines as good as possible. The reason that it matters, there are a number of reasons, but really is because if you don't optimize your website for search engines, then you're risking losing potential attendees. So you can lose them to other churches because their websites appear higher in search engine results than yours. Or maybe you can lose them because your website just doesn't contain the information that they're looking for. And so the thing is we all use search. We all do searches from, you know, our phones, looking for, you know, which mechanic shop has the best ratings, or maybe even a search to buy shoes that you've been thinking about. That's just the way that we do business online nowadays. And the way that people are searching for churches to go to is absolutely no different.
Sure. So how does Google know about my site? Won't I just appear if people search for like church near me? Shouldn't I just go ahead and show up?
Yeah. I mean, I wish, right? I think
it would be ideal, right?
It would be ideal, right? That's a really common misconception. You know, I think a lot of times we talk to people and they say, my business is legitimate. I've had this business for 30 years, you know, whatever it is. We're here. We're on the street corner. Why aren't we showing up when people are searching for a business like mine? And the reason is because the way that Google works is, first thing to know is that getting ranked in Google is a privilege. So it's not a right. It's not like something that just because they rank websites means that all websites are given the same opportunity to rank there. What Google's trying to do is provide the best user experience for people. So whether that means, and that means like leading to a website that's built the best, that has the best user experience, and that's from a source that's really credible. So, you know, again, like thinking back to searches that you've done, I think we've probably all been in that situation where we search for something and we end up on a site that just doesn't function properly, doesn't seem like it's probably very reputable. And that's what Google's trying to combat against. And so it's not that your business isn't credible, but you have to do a certain number of things online to make sure that you're proving your credibility to Google. So There are, there are hundreds of ranking factors. So actually over 200 ranking factors as to why a website ranks where it does.
Yeah,
it's a lot. And there's actually a document that Google provides if, you know, anyone really wants to dig into what these factors are. I think it's like 168 pages last time I looked, but it's called their Search Quality Evaluator Guidelines. And so these are the guidelines Google uses to determine whether a site is actually credible. But really what it all comes down to is, have you proven that you are a reputable source? And are you actually providing a good user experience to not only humans, but also to search engines? And if you do those things, then you will rank. It definitely takes a little bit of work.
Well, I'd love to link that document in our show notes. So we'll do that. So look out for that. But what are some of the things that you can do to prove that you're reputable for Google?
So there are a number of things that you can do. Some are extremely technical, which we don't need to get into today, but there are also some things that are not really technical that you can totally take on by yourself. I think one of the things is when you get into a discussion about search engine optimization, sometimes people think it's really hard. I'm so frustrated because I don't know what to do. I feel like this is beyond my capabilities. And the thing to realize is it's not. Getting ranked online is not about being perfect. It's about being better than your competitors, first of all. So when I talk about competitors, I mean the other people who are showing up for the same terms that you want to show up for. So it may not be like, you know, the church right down the street. It might be some other website. But basically, the types of things that you can do that, since you have a local church, you have a local business, is number one, go get good reviews. That's going to be one of the things that helps establish the credibility for the fact that you are a real place, first of all, and that you're actually reputable. There are other things that you can do too. So, for example, if you have a WordPress website, I'll talk about WordPress right now. There are ways to do this in other platforms, but WordPress supports over 60% of websites that are actually built on a content management system. So most are built on WordPress. There is a plugin called Yoast, Y-O-A-S-T, and it's a really, really helpful plugin. It's free, and you can get that and you can put it on your website, and it will give you some options to fill out that will help you optimize your site. So a couple of things that it'll ask for each page that you add on your site are called a title and a meta description. These might sound kind of, hold on a second, what are those?
Right, what are you talking about?
Yeah, you're actually familiar with them. So when you do a Google search, whenever you search for anything, you see a line of text that's typically in blue, and then you see a couple sentences below it. And that is a title and a meta description for the page that you're about to go to. And so those are really important pieces to be able to fill out on each page of your website, because they actually show up in search. And so they help people to be able to know what that page is about that they're going to and to convert. So the Yoast SEO plugin, though, is something that is really helpful to add to your website, and it'll walk you through those things, and it will just tell you what to fill out and actually give you pointers on how to fill it out, how long these things should be, that sort of thing. So that's really helpful as well.
I'm so glad you said the thing about the reviews too, because that's something that comes up in church communication forums a lot, is a lot of people recommend removing reviews. Just, I think they're scared of negative ones or trolls or whatever the reason. A lot of people recommend that. And I'm always out there shouting from the rooftop, do not remove reviews. Allow that to happen. Because it's really important. Yeah. So I'm really, really glad you said that.
It's a huge piece.
Yeah. For sure. Not just for social media, or not just for SEO, for social media too. Mm-hmm. And Yoast is fantastic. You told me about that years ago, and I use it all the time. It's wonderful. So if I don't have the budget, so most of us don't have this huge, enormous budget to help with our website, or with SEO. So if I don't have a big budget to pay for tools to do these things, like Yoast is free, what are some other tools that you would recommend that I could use to like improve all of this?
Yeah. So, I mean, like you said, Yoast is free. They do have a paid version that's, I think, $95 a year, something like that. But the free version is typically sufficient. Google has some amazing tools. And the reason that I keep talking about Google and not Bing and not Yahoo and things like that is because Google has the search engine market share. So meaning like over 88% of searches that are done in the United States are done on Google. They definitely, they're definitely the one to pay attention to, right? And to follow their rules. I want to say last time I checked, Bing was like 6% and Yahoo's about 4%. So it's not that they don't count, but I mean, if you're going to be paying attention to trying to follow the rules of one search engine, it's Google. So, but the other thing is Google has some amazing free tools. So they have Google Analytics, which a lot of people have heard of. Maybe you even have it installed on your website. If not, it's a really great tool to install. And what Google Analytics does is it tells you how humans are interacting with your website. So when someone comes to your website, it tells you what pages did they look at, how long did they stay there, what pages did they leave from, things like that. It gives you a lot of like really good data about how the user experience was on your website. There's also another tool that a lot of people don't realize exists. It's also from Google, and it's called Google Search Console. So Google Search Console tells you how search engines are interacting with your website. So the data that you see in Google Analytics and in Google Search Console are kind of similar. Okay. But like I said, analytics focuses on like the human user's experience. Google Search Console focuses on more of the SEO type elements. So in Google Search Console, you can get notifications from Google saying, hey, your site speed is really slow. here are some ways to improve it. Things like that. Google Search Console will tell you if you have, if there are any issues with search engines being able to read your pages, to read your website, things like that. But the type of data that you get in both of them is really similar, but it's taking it from two different perspectives. And the thing to realize is you do have two different users that are coming to your site. You have humans, which yes, you absolutely have to make sure that your site is built really beautifully, that the navigation is really good and easy for them to find what they're looking for. But you also have to make sure that search engines have a really easy way of finding what you're all about and that they can navigate through your site as well.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a really great point. Two different users. I love that. So what do you think? This is a loaded question. I'm just going to call it out. It's okay. A little bit of a loaded question. So give us churches grace. Okay. What do you think is intense way of saying this? What do you think churches suck at when it comes to website management? like what is the thing that you're like, oh my gosh, I just wish churches really did this better. Like, this is the thing that if you guys did this better, it would really improve so many things for you. Like, is there anything that stands out to you that we should look
so
at?
I said,
grace, love us, be kind, but no, like for real, like I'm sure there's like some thread, right, that you see when it comes to church websites. So like
absolutely. I think, you know, I don't want to make a broad statement about all churches, but like you said, what we do see, I think the most is just the fact that church staff is often overloaded. Sure. And when you're debating whether to optimize your website or to work on content for this weekend sermon, the sermon's going to win and it's going to win every time. And I mean, and that's a good thing, right? We definitely want that to be done. But I mean, most businesses, it's not just churches, you know, churches are no different. They also treat their website as an expense a lot of times and, or a cost of doing business rather than a revenue generation asset, right? Rather than something that is going to bring people there. And so because of this, a lot of times, you know, they'll go with the cheapest option and then completely neglect it and then blame it for not working. And so that's a multifaceted problem, right? Is, well, are you neglecting it because you think it's not going to work or because you just don't have time? And I think the issue is a lot of times is you just don't have time. So I think in order to fix it, you just, first of all, you need to work with someone who understands how to build a website that is not just pretty for human users, but is also optimized for search engines. So you can't SEO a website that's not built properly, that doesn't have a strong foundation. And so first of all, going with someone just because, you know, they're your brother's nephew, and they're a millennial doesn't mean that they know how to build a website. And then the other thing is you need to make an investment in your team to ensure that they can keep it updated. And so if that team is you, then that just means setting aside some time, some protected time each week, just to make sure that you're keeping the content updated on there.
That's great. So really it's just about perspective. It's all in how you view it. And if you view it as a resource rather than an expense, you're going to treat it completely differently. That's awesome. So one thing that I love about churches is that, like, working for a church and working in the marketing world, in the church world, combining them, is that churches have the best product, if you will, like the best message out there. It is
absolutely
the best thing to talk about. And so just getting to work in that space is really, really awesome. So do you see anything that churches have going for them when it comes to website management? We've talked about the negative thread. Is there a positive thread that you see churches having when it comes to websites?
Yeah. I mean, I think you just answered it, right? Is you guys, you have something that people want, right? You have joy, right? You have
hope.
And hope. And you have people who love what you do and people on your staff who have the heart for the people that you serve. And like, that is so huge. The people who are looking for you, they actually want to interact with you. So sometimes we work with businesses where it's like, no one wants to interact with them. So this is a good situation to be in, you know? It's just, people feel that joy. They feel the fact that you care when they walk through the doors. Just making them feel that online is just as important.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's really good. Do you, so just in wrapping up, I want to make sure that we don't take all of your time here today, but do you have any like parting words of wisdom about SEO that listeners should know that we haven't already hit on?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would just say, don't be too hard on yourself. It's not an overnight thing. One thing to keep in mind with search engine optimization is it takes time. So it actually, it's kind of like, you know, sometimes people will ask us like, how long is it going to take, you know, before I start seeing results? And really that's kind of like someone asking, how long is it going to take to see results from working out? Some sites are in worse shape than others. Some people work more intensely than others. So, but as a rule of thumb, like, you want to make sure that you're giving yourself at least about 6 months before you're expecting to see some really good traction. The other thing though, is even though there are so many different pieces, again, there are over 200 ranking factors, it's not impossible. So you just need to start with the things that you can tackle and slowly start learning how to do more and more if you're, you know, interested in that. And keeping in mind that the goal is always about creating a really good user experience. So that means making sure that your site navigation is structured well, that the information that's on your site is updated, that it's really easy to find, that the site is fast and that it functions well. So there are some things like that that you can do just by, again, installing some plugins, using the Yoast plugin, things like that, that'll really help you. The other thing is, I would say, if you want to learn, Moz is a really great platform as well that I really like learning like search engine optimization things from. And so
Moz.
Yep, M-O-Z. Yeah, so Moz has this really cool, if you like videos, I like videos. I feel like I would much rather watch a video and learn from it that way than having to sit and read.
Sure.
Yeah, so they have this series called Whiteboard Friday, and they talk about pretty like SEO 101 type of things that you can do for your site. And so, you know, maybe that's a really great time to set aside some time for yourself, maybe every Friday or every, you know, maybe let's go after the weekend. Let's do it on maybe Tuesday. But either way, just set aside some time, watch the video and see what you can implement. And that's a really, really great place to start as well.
Oh, that's awesome. That's, you've given us some really simple, I think simple, easy to use, like we can start implementing them right away tools, which is practical and really helpful, especially for those of us where SEO is not our full-time job. It's like, you know, one of the 60 different things that we do as church communicators. It's just a small yeah. portion of it, right? So I think you're absolutely right. It can feel totally daunting and overwhelming if it's not something that we've been, you know, educated in the past. But I really appreciate you coming on here and talking with us about all of your wisdom, because you're super smart and I love that.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's fun. Anytime.
So where can people connect with you online outside of this podcast?
Oh yeah. Well, you can find me and more information about our company at metricmarketing.com. And offline, like I said, I travel with the Digital Summit Series and teach 4-hour search engine optimization workshops. So this year I will be in Seattle. I'm trying to think. Seattle, Denver, Raleigh, and Dallas this year. So all throughout the year, from starting in April all the way through December. So if you're at any of those locations and want some little offline learning, that's a good thing to check out as well.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Hannah. I really appreciate it. And once again, I'll put all of those things that we talked about, all the plugins and the podcast, the SEO 101 that we had posted last month, in the show notes. And we will see you next time.